Welcome to Edgemont Bible Church in Fairview Heights, Illinois, where our mission is to glorify God by guiding people into a discipleship relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's listen in to today's message by our pastor, Douglas A. White.
This is Restore Network Sunday. So, keeping with our series on networking, or on restoration, what God's prophetic restoration is going to be about, I decided to call this one Networking to Restore. Networking to Restore. Once again, we want to go over kind of a timeline here on the platform so we can see what's going to go on here, all right? Now, we start all the way back over here on this side. And here is what we call creation. Back over here in the piano, that's all eternity past. God's dwelling back in eternity past. We don't know a whole lot about what was going on there, but we do know some that was going on there. So we know that God created, and when he created, he called it very good. That established the condition, right? But we know that right after that, when the fall of man, the world that we knew at creation was modified, altered, changed. And we know that people lived in sin all the way up to a time in which God changed the whole world, changed its whole topography, changed everything about it by flooding it. And through flooding it and everything that drained off it, now we have more mountains, more canyons, more rivers, got all kinds of things. Following that, of course, is going to be that ice age where all the clouds that had come over blocked out the sun for a while, and now you've got big glaciers that are cutting parts. Matter of fact, you can see evidence of that here in Illinois. The plains were made from glaciers eating up the soil and leveling out the ground. You can see pretty much where it stopped. If you go down to southern Illinois, obviously down there, it was not covering things. There's hills and mountains and all kinds of things, as you would find in the Ozarks. That's where all the Great Plains came from, were the glaciers that were there at that time. So we have all of that going on, and now we have God choosing a guy named Abraham and his people through whom he's planning to restore everything the way it was here. So as I slide my way up through time and I come up to here, this area is what we call the restoration time. This is where he's going to restore the kingdom, restore the earth, new heavens, new earth, bring it back the way it was supposed to be, and bless people the way it was supposed to be. And out there is eternity. Don't know a whole lot about eternity out there. Haven't been told a whole lot about eternity out there. But I can tell you, it is with Almighty God, the great, awesome one, without pain, without suffering, without injury, without hurt. All of that's ahead for us there. So that's all about restoration. That's what God's plan is. So let's have a word of prayer. We'll get right into that. Father, thank you so much. What an awesome God. To have created all the things that you did, create all the systems that you did, to bring together all things the way you did, and to give us such a glorious world to live in. Thank you that you saw it as good. So it was perfect in all its ways. Now, Father, we recognize that sin has changed all of that. We recognize that judgment has changed all that. And we recognize that judgment will once again change all that. We come before you as a people who acknowledge you as the creator of everything, not all the others who claim to be gods, not all the others who claim to be world leaders, you and you alone. And you have designated that this world that you had created through the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be restored and given to him. So we worship and praise the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Now we ask that your spirit would rest with us today. Father, we need you. We trust you. All of our lives are invested in you. You're the one that is true. Thank you today, Father, that Restore Network is alive and well and doing the very work of God. We ask, Father, in Jesus' name, give us a heart to participate with them. And I'm going to thank you for what you're going to do in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Let's get right into it. This is part 16 in that purifying blessed hope as we talk about networking to restore. First of all, I want to get this to you. Restoration is the will of God. Restoration is the will of God. So if anybody's got any question about whether or not we should be restoring things, the answer is God says yes. Restoration is the will of God. Let's see if we can show why. Restoration is to bring things back into their proper God-intended place and condition. Now look, God's going to do a great work. This is the way he made it back here. It was complete, full, good, perfect in every way. And we know that after all of its damage and all the things have been done, that he's going to restore it out here. That is the will of God. Everybody with me? That we know God's going to do. That's the restoration, that we know that's the will of God. So, restoration is to bring things back to their proper God-intended place and condition. It implies that things are not in their proper place. You agree with that? By the fact you use the word restoration, you're saying things are not in the right place. Things need to be put back in their proper place. Number two, it is explicit in its use in both the Tanakh and the New Testament. Tanakh is what we call the Old Testament. I'm calling it Tanakh so that my Jewish friends will understand this. We recognize it as the Tanakh. We recognize it as the Torah, the history. We recognize it as the prophets. We recognize it as the Psalms. We recognize that book. And in it is a covenant, your land covenant, we say to our Jewish friends. That term, restoration, is used over 950 times in the Bible. Now, I want you to think with me just a minute. What does that mean? Is God urgent and serious about this matter of restoration if he uses it over 950 times? Let me see if I can introduce what some of that is. Restoration is God's law when things were out of place that he intended for them. Turn with me just for a moment to Exodus 22. Exodus 22. Exodus, you'll recognize, and being chapter 22, you'll know that the law was given in chapter 20. So you'll know that what we're about to read now is the law. It was the commandments that Moses had been given to tell people about what God's expectation was. So in Exodus 22, let's pick up with verse 1. It says this: if a man steals an ox or a sheep and slaughters it or sells it, he shall restore 5 oxen for an ox and 4 sheep for a sheep. If the thief is found breaking in and he's struck so that he dies, there shall be no guilt for his bloodshed. If the sun has risen on him, there shall be guilt for his bloodshed. He should make full restitution. If he has nothing, then he shall be sold for his theft. If the theft is certainly found alive in his hand, whether it is an ox or a donkey or a sheep, he shall restore double. All right, you ever see restore all over the place there? Restore and restitution are two words that are used for this term restore. So if somebody stole an ox that belonged to this guy, okay, so its intended place is with this guy. If this guy comes over and steals that ox away from him, that ox was given to him by God. That was his stewardship. That ox was given to him to take care of. He was supposed to be good to that ox. He's supposed to be able to use that ox if it's helping him plow his fields, whatever it is. But that belonged to the owner. When it was taken, it's out of its proper place. Everybody see where I'm at? And he's given all kinds of regulations here. If it dies, if the guy kills it and he eats it or whatever he does with it, he has to restore it to the original owner. He has to restore it fourfold. If it's still found, he's got to restore it twofold. But restoration was God's will. It comes back to where it started from. Now, I'm just going to tell you, we're not going to go through all of them because there are gobs of them all throughout the law itself. That was God's will, that things be restored to the place from which they were taken. Restoration has two parts to it. And we'll see in just a minute if we can show you those two parts. It has two parts to it. Number one was to bring something back to its original place. That's to bring something back to its original place. And for those of you who are who like these sort of things, that is the Hebrew word shub, or as some say shuv, and it is you can write it S H U W B, just so you get that sound there, or S H U W V, yashuv. That's what it was, bringing it back to its original place. But it's possible you could bring it back to its original place and it not be in its proper condition. So restoration is to return it to its proper condition. Return it to its proper condition. Let me see if I can show you a few of these. I could bring something back to its original place, but it not be in its proper condition. For instance, let's go back to the guy with the ox. If I steal his ox and I bring it over here and I kill it, and I take the killed ox back to where it belonged, it's not restored, right? The only way it could be restored is if I made it alive. Consequently, I got to bring back four times that many to make sure he's got life back again. That may have been his only breeding stock, and I've got to bring back something now that'll help him have more prosperity from it. Everybody see where I'm at? I could bring it back to its original place without it being in its proper condition, but it's not restored until I put it into its proper condition. All right? I think you're going to see why that's valuable in just a few moments. That bringing something back to its proper condition is the Hebrew word shalom. Not shalom, shalom. S-H-A-L-L-A-M. Okay? And you find these two used back and forth all throughout. Let me take you to one of them. Leviticus chapter 6. Sorry about that. Thank you for hanging with me. I do have a point. And we're on our way to getting there, all right? Leviticus 6, verses 4 and 5. Let's back up again. Let's go to verse 1. We'll just come back to verse 1. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, if a person sins and commits a trespass against the Lord by lying to his neighbor about what was delivered to him for safekeeping, or about a pledge, or about a robbery, or if he has extorted it from his neighbor, or if he has found what was lost and lies concerning it and swears falsely in any of these things that he may do in which he sins. Now stop just a minute. That means that something's not in its right place, right? Now, verse 4. Then it shall be, because he has sinned and is guilty, that he shall restore what was stolen, or the thing which he has extorted, or what was delivered to him for safekeeping, or the lost thing which he found. That's the word shuv. I'm going to bring it back to its proper place. Everybody with me? I'm going to bring it back to its proper place. But now watch, verse 5. Or all that about which he has sworn falsely, he shall restore its full value and add 1/5 more to it and give it to whomever it belongs on the day of his trespass offering. So, if a guy uses his coat as a pledge, he takes his coat off and says, I promise I will do this thing, I'm giving you this. So if he gives it off as a pledge, then the guy that he gave it to hold on to it, if he doesn't restore it, he's in a world of hurt. If, however, he restores it and lied about the thing, he has to restore not only the pledge, but 1/5 more, 20% more. So he's going to put some money in the pockets because he stole the guy's pledge. He needs to give it back to him. Everybody see where we're at? So it's about returning it to its original place, but in its proper condition. Everybody with me? Isn't Restore Network beautiful? I love it. Let's go on. Got some more to see. Why don't you take a look at another one with me? Let's go to Genesis 42:28. Genesis 42:28. See up at the top there where it says selected scriptures? That's because I don't know how to write all these down. 42:28, because it'd take too much space to write them all down. 42:28. Here, the scene is this, that the brothers have all come down to Israel. They have come down to Egypt. They don't know that that Joseph is the second in command of Pharaoh. They don't know they've been talking to Joseph. They know that they brought money with them to buy grain. And so they go and buy grain. And now let's pick up with verse 25. Then Joseph gave a command to fill their sacks with grain and to restore every man's money to his sack and to give them provisions for the journey. Thus he did for them. So they loaded their donkeys with grain and departed from there. But as one of them opened his sack to give his donkey feed at the encampment, he saw his money. And there it was in the mouth of his sack. So he said to his brothers, "My money has been restored, and there it is in my sack." Then their hearts failed them, and they were afraid, saying to one another, "What is this that God has done to us?" Okay, so the word restore there was put back in its original place. And you could say it was restored secondly. It not only was put back in its place, the full amount was put back. Everybody see where I'm at? That's what it means to restore something. That is used all over the Old Testament and the New. I want you to consider with me, I'll come to that next. So far, all I want you to see so far is that to restore is put something back where it's supposed to be and put it back in its proper condition. All right, let's go then to letter D in our outline. Restoration has a human side and a divine side. Repentance is restoration of a soul to its position before God. This is the human side of restoration. God would call on the children of Israel time and time again. You find a lot in the prophets. "Turn you at my reproof. Come back to where you've drifted away. All we like sheep have turned astray. We've turned everyone to his own way." When they had gone the wrong direction, he said, "Shuv, shuv, turn back, come back to the original place." That is, when you're doing that, that's the human side of restoration. When you're repenting, you're coming back to the original place. But can I say this? You can't forgive yourself. You can't justify yourself. Everybody follow that? So you have to have a divine side. And here's the divine side. The divine side is God putting a human soul back in a relationship with himself. That's to justify him. Justify. Okay? So here's the deal. I repent. I come back home. I have done the human side of restoration. But I can't restore myself to the family. I'm a broken instrument. The divine side is God taking me, changing me, justifying me before Almighty God. Now I'm fully restored. Everybody with me? The prodigal son. Consider with me the prodigal son. The prodigal boy wanted to leave Dad. He wanted to be on his own. He wanted to have, "So give me my inheritance, Dad. I'm going to go out and burn it up. I'm going to go have my own life and do my own thing." So he goes away. And when it's all gone, when he's got nothing left, when there's nothing left for him to do at all, he does the human side of restoration. He says, "I'm going to go back home, and I'm going to tell Daddy, put me to work. It's better in this household for the workers in that home than it is for me here. I'm going home." Okay? So he goes home. He cannot restore himself to the family. Everybody follow that? He can't. It takes his dad bringing him back in. Everybody with me? His dad brings him back home. Do you realize that's what's happened to every one of us? We realized that we had left home. And here, we turned back, and God then brought us into and restored us to our fellowship with Almighty God. All right? Letter E. Jesus illustrated his power to restore on many occasions with people whose physical condition had been altered by disease or malady. Look with Matthew 12:13 just for a moment. Matthew 12:13. I know you're going to know exactly what I'm saying in these things, but I want you to understand how it was supposed to be. Let's go all the way back to verse 9, and let's pick up what's happened here. And it says of Jesus, "Now when he had departed from there, he went out into their synagogue. And behold, there was a man who had a withered hand. And they asked him, saying, 'Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?'" That they might accuse him. "Then he said to them, 'What man is there among you who has a sheep, and if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will not lay a hold of it and lift it out? Of how much more value then is a man than a sheep? Therefore, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath? Therefore, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath.' Then he said to the man, 'Stretch out your hand.' And he stretched it out, and it was restored as whole as the other." All the man did was stretch out his hand. Jesus didn't touch him. Jesus didn't do anything to him except say, "Stretch out your hand." And it was restored completely. Do you realize what has to happen with all that? Think of all the things that have to change just with a hand. How many different bones do you have in there? How many different ligaments are there in there? How many different muscles are there in there that all have to come back into the right order in order for that hand to be useful again? And Jesus, by just his word, rehooked everything back in that hand, and that man's hand is good. Restoration is the will of God. And Jesus is that restorer. You belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. That puts you in the ministry of restoration. It is the will of God. Everybody follow me? Okay. Restoration is the future ministry of Elijah. What? What's Elijah got to do with this? Now turn with me to Malachi 4, 4 to 6. Malachi 4, 4 to 6. If you're in Matthew right now, just sneak back over real few pages there and you'll come to Malachi. It's the last book of the Old Testament. Malachi 4, 4 reads, "Remember the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded him in Horeb for all Israel, with statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse." So Elijah in the future has some ministry of restoration. Let me show you why I can say that. Look at Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. All right. Mark chapter 9, verse 13. "Then they brought little children to him that he might touch them, but the disciples rebuked those who brought them." Now, I want you to stop. What was the prophecy of Malachi? That he will turn the hearts of the children to the fathers and the hearts of the fathers to the children. Children, for them, were being seen as those who cannot participate in adult things. Here, Jesus is bringing children into these adult things, into this whole restoration thing. Let's go on and see where it goes from. I'm in Mark 10. Sorry, Mark 9. Yeah, that was... All right. In verse 11, Mark 9, 11. "And they ask him, saying, 'Why do the scribes say that Elijah must come first?' Then he answered and told them, 'Indeed, Elijah is coming first and restores all things. And how is it written concerning the Son of Man that he must suffer many things and be treated with contempt? But I say to you, Elijah has also come, and they did to him whatever they wished, as it is written of him.'" Remember what John the Baptist said his ministry was? To make straight the paths of the Lord. "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at heaven. Things will be, mountains will be lowered, valleys will be raised. It's to make straight the paths of the Lord. It's to make a straight way for the Lord to come." That's what Elijah's going to do. Elijah in the future is going to restore all things to where they're supposed to, and Jesus is going to come into that and fully complete the restoration. Remember, it's put things back where they belong, and then fully give them full restitution. Letter G, the restoration of Israel is God's promise to them. Write down Ezekiel 36 and 37. God promised Israel that they would be restored. Letter H, restoration is what God has done for us. He took us from our condition of fallen and restored us to children of God. That's what he's done for us. And then letter I, if I could, restoration is what God has done for us. And letter I says restoration of the whole cosmos is what God has planned. We are a part of that beautiful plan of God. That's Romans chapter 8. You can write Romans chapter 8 there. God's plan is to restore the whole cosmos, bring it all back. All the things that are suffering now will be brought back into their proper condition and into their proper place. That's the plan of God. Everybody with me? All I wanted to show you there is that restoration is the will of God. Number two in our outline. Working together as a community to restore things is God's will. Working together to restore things is God's will. The word we use for that is networking. Everybody works together on this. Just as Rachel told us earlier, three things you can do. You can foster, you can volunteer, you can donate. Everybody can participate. It takes the whole network to get that done. Everybody see where I'm coming from? It's a community effort. So if we can say it this way, the church's establishment after Pentecost was restoration through the free movement of the Spirit of God in believers' lives. This freedom of community sharing, that's your blanks, community sharing, illustrated what the restored kingdom of God would look like. Listen, if you go back to Acts chapter 2, let me just share that with you real quick. I'll get to Acts 2 maybe faster than you will. Let's see. Acts chapter 2, it goes on to say this. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. In other words, they became a community. Here's what the community did. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common and sold their possessions as good and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. That's community sharing. And that was done by the Spirit of God. That's why I can say the work of Restore Network needs to be done by believers in Christ. Because Christ is the restorer. The best people to be doing that restorative work is the people of God. It's the people of Christ. It's all about restoration. And it's about community sharing. Let's go to letter B. This networking is the sharing of what each has to create the best situation for restoration. This networking is acknowledging that there is something bigger than life that needs our sacrifice to accomplish, something that is God's will. I can know that it is God's will that children be restored to a family. That's the way children are supposed to be, whether that family gets to be the original family or it gets to be the family that's fostering them and taking care of them for that time. That is God's will. Everybody see where I'm coming from? We can know that that's the restoration God's wanting. The goal of Restored Network ultimately is to get that family, the original family, restored completely so that the family can be restored back in its proper place, back in its proper condition. Praise the Lord, that's the will of God. Let me go on further. This networking for restoration is seen in this biblical admonition of Galatians 6:1. Restoring a brother overtaken in a fault. Would you turn there with me, please? What a great passage this one is. Galatians 6:1. Good, good, good. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Whew. Is that a beautiful passage? Let's just break that down a little bit, shall we? Number one, he says, brethren. So by saying brethren, who's he talking to? That's the family of God. He's addressing the family of God. Brethren, If you see something, brethren, if you see this thing, he's saying, family, let's keep our eyes open. Family, if you see something taking place, notice what it says then. It appeals to the relationship God created for us. We didn't make ourselves brothers and sisters. We didn't make ourselves a family. We were made that family by God. God took us from all our disparate rebellion and all kinds of wrong places and brought us back to Christ to put us in the proper place and in the proper condition, right? I didn't do that. You didn't do that. That was done by God Almighty. Go on further. It says, overtaken. Brethren, if a man is overtaken, by overtaken, I understand this. It implies we know one another well enough to know when one is out of place. I got to come where I recognize that something's out of place. This ought not be. Every month we get a report from the Restore Network that's showing us, here's what's out of place today. Here's what's out of place this week. Here's what's out of place this month. This is what needs to be restored. Brethren, there are things that are out of place. Some children have been placed out of place. Some families have been placed out of place. You see someone overtaken, that means it captured them. There are some times that people get themselves into conditions and positions where they're overtaken. That's not what they planned for their life. It's not what they intended for their life. They didn't know what they were intending. They didn't know what the consequences would be. They didn't understand what it was going to be. You see him overtaken? Then look what he goes on to say. You who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Can I break it down here for you? You who are spiritual. Let me stop just for a moment. He did not use a singular noun here. He used a plural. By using a plural. Now, our you, you can't tell if it's singular or plural except by the verb that's used, right? Well, you can in Greek. So he was taking this saying plural. Hey, all of you who are spiritual, get involved with this. It isn't just a guy who sees this happening and you go and try to rescue the guy by yourself. If that's all you got, then do it. But it involves everybody who's a spiritual being. What does it take to be a spiritual being? To be born by the Spirit. That's what it takes. It's not a mindset. It's not. It is what God's work has done to a person. You are either a natural person or you're a spiritual person. By natural, I mean you've just been born into this world, been born a twisted sinner, and that puts you in a natural place. He's calling on people who are spiritual. That is, those who have been born again by the Spirit of God. That put us in a spiritual condition. Everybody follow that? All right. Here we go. You who are spiritual, that's plural, not singular. It involves those who are walking in the Spirit, not the flesh. We need people who know what the Spirit is, who know how to pray, who know how to love, who know how to care, who have the compassion of Jesus at work in them. Work together. There will be more than one need. When you come into a family, I think you mentioned this a few minutes ago, Rachel, sometimes they come without right clothes. They come without food. They're really just coming what's on their back. Now, you suppose there's more than one need in that? As soon as that happens, start thinking about what could be needed there. All right, if you just got that child that came there that way, do you have a need? Well, it could be maybe you need some clothes, you need some food, you need some bedding, you need some... There could be a lot of needs. That's why it takes... more than one. It takes the whole body. Well, let me go on further. It says to restore them. This is a great word. I love this word. Remember I told you it's in two conditions. There's two conditions to restoration. One is to put it back in the proper place. The second is to put it in its proper condition. Okay. All throughout the New Testament, he keeps using the word for put it back in its proper place. till he came to this one. And it's not only put it back in its proper place, put it back in its proper condition. So this is the word for splint. You're taking a broken bone and you're splinting it, patching it up so that it gets a chance to mend. Everybody follow that? Now, Connie, I'm not trying to pick on you, but you just recently had some shoulder surgery. And you, it was held in position. But it wasn't just held in position. There were some exercises you were supposed to do, right? Or it would have just frozen there. So you could put it back in its proper place, but not in its proper condition. Dave, we don't want to always have an arm like this, do we? Unless, of course, you're holding a towel, okay? Here, my darling, here's your towel. Here, my friend, is your napkin. That'd be handy for that. Or if you're going to tighten things on a... Yeah, you don't want that. So you've got to have therapy. Follow that? In order to put it back in its proper condition, you got to have therapy. So set this. It's set the bone, do the therapy. Set the bone, do the therapy. Rachel, that just reminded me so much of what you were talking about when you spoke to us earlier. I took the child in. I set the bone. Then I kept doing the therapy. Because this is, it's in the proper place, but it's not in the proper condition yet. I need to get in the proper condition. Okay. That's what we're after. That's what we're after. So when we are looking at somebody's overtaken with a fault, it's not enough to put it back in its proper place. It's to put it together. It's to give it the therapy it needs to do its condition. And then he says here last, to do it in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. We are not drill instructors, present company accepted. We're not drill instructors to get people back in their right condition. Do this, I said do this. You hear me, Dad? We're now considering ourselves. What could happen to us? Am I prone to sinful conditions? Am I prone to pride? Am I prone to whatever I may be prone to? You got to consider yourself when you're setting a bone and giving it therapy. You got to think yourself through. Am I prone to fall as well? So you're going to have to go into this thing with all humility, with all gentleness, with all meekness. Fair enough? God's plan for the whole world is to take it from its fallen condition, put it in its proper place, and then proper condition. And you're all along that path doing the same thing with all kinds of people. What is the gospel you're giving? The gospel is to put somebody back in their proper place and in the proper condition, right? When you give somebody the gospel, that's what you're doing. You're calling on them, come back home and get yourself healed. That's the work of the church. It's restoring things. And the church has to work together to get it done. That was what he was planning for us all along. This is where he's headed. He's the full restorer. We're not going to create a new heavens, new earth. We're not going to create the kingdom. We're going to participate with it, and we want to restore as many people to be in that kingdom as we possibly can. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you so much for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you so much for the love of God that's in our hearts and for the way you're working in us already. Thank you for the opportunities you give to us to be the children of God and to behave that way among all kinds of people. Now thank you for what you're going to do in us just now as we submit ourselves anew and afresh to you. Thank you for the work of Restore Network. Thank you for the work of the gospel to restore people to their proper position as children of God. And I'll thank you for it all in Jesus' name. God bless you in all that you do for this week. You have got the Spirit of God. You're a child of God. Take the love of God with you every place you go. Take the compassion. We've got Rachel, I think, has already gone back to her table. Make sure you stop by and greet Rachel and give appreciation to her. God bless you. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you so much for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for the way you're working in us every day. I know you want to conform us to the image of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So thank you for what you're doing in that. Please help us be willing cooperatives with that. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope God has encouraged you with today's message by Pastor White. Thank you for joining us at the Edgemont Bible Church. We'd love to have you visit us if you're ever in the area. For directions, more information, or to support the ministry of Edgemont Bible Church, please go to our website at edgemontbiblechurch.org. That's Edgemont Bible Church, all one word, .org. You can also follow us on Facebook at Edgemont Bible Church, where the Sunday morning message is broadcast live.